Good morning. How are you? If you haven't heard, it's raining out right now. It's beautiful. So I will try to go the appropriate amount of time so that the rain is done when we're leaving. Why don't we pray and then we'll read the Bible together. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for speaking to us when we read this book. You are so good. You could leave us alone and say, find your own way, but you don't. You actively guide us. You draw us to you. You work inside of us and you make us want to become like you. You are very, very good. So God, I pray that as we read this morning, that you would speak to our hearts and you would work inside of us, that we wouldn't just learn things, but that we would become different. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we've been looking at the tail end of the book of Galatians. Maybe one more week after this. I don't know. Don't hold me to that. We'll see. But we've been getting to the end, and as we've gotten to the end of the book, what we've seen is what Paul has done in this book, like he's done in all of his letters. In fact, read like Philippians or Ephesians or any of the other letters that Paul wrote, and what you'll see is a pattern where he talks at the beginning about what God has done, and then he spends the last half, normally, more or less, talking about how we should respond based on what God has done, what the appropriate response should be. And so he's been talking about how we should live for the last several weeks. Probably didn't take him that long to write. For the last several sections of the book, he's been talking about how we should live because of what Christ has done for us. So the idea is that if you're in Christ, you're free. You're free from having to depend on how good you are for your self-worth. In fact, your worth can come from Christ, not from yourself, which the more that you are able to see how really bad you are, well, I'll talk about me, not you, how bad I am, the more that I see how wicked I am, and how my heart is constantly inclined towards wickedness, and how hard it is for me to be the kind of person God wants me to be, and how difficult it is for me to imitate Jesus, even especially in my own personal life. Listen, the more that we see how wicked we are, the more that it is freeing, the more freeing it is for us to read this and say, okay, so how God sees me is not dependent on who I am. It's dependent on who Christ is and what he has done. And then Paul, at the end of the book, is saying, okay, now you're free, which means you're free to love. You're free to kill your flesh. You're free to put to death sins that have plagued you your whole life. You're free to be free from the person that you have been for forever. You're free to be transformed by the Spirit of God. And last week we saw that we are free to do good. We're free to do good and to persevere in doing good, to continue doing good, even when it seems like the good that we're doing isn't really working and we're tired and we'd rather not keep going. And Paul says, no, you're free in Christ to continue doing good. And he continues with that idea in the verse today. And today we're going to look, because of the verse the way he words it, we're going to look at another reason why it's hard for us to do good. Well, another reason that just comes out of us that kind of blocks us from helping other people and from being the kind of good people that God wants us to be. And we'll see a description of how we should be. So let's look at that first, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Look at Galatians 6, verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. That would not be a bad verse to write down on a card and put on your refrigerator or your somewhere in your car and memorize it this week. It's short enough. We could probably commit it to memory, and it is a powerful verse. It tells us how we should live, and it's a very all-encompassing verse. And basically, what it's saying is that if you are a child of God, this is how you should be. If you're a Christian, this is what your life should look like. And even if you're still not a Christian and you're hearing this and you're reading this verse, there's probably something in you that says, yeah, that resonates with you, that you say, yeah, This is how we should be. We should do good to all. We should do good to all as we have opportunity. And the reason, even if you are still not a Christian, that something in you says yes to that is because we're all made in the image of God to be like Him and to reflect who He is. So there's something in all of us that says, yes, that's how we should be, because that's how God is. And the big idea that I see in this verse is that God's children, especially God's children, are to sacrifice themselves for others. God's children are to sacrifice themselves for others. That's part of what it means to be a Christian. Just read the verse. He's so all-encompassing. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially of those who are of the household of faith. It's a very all-encompassing verse. It's just, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means for you and I to be connected with God. We're supposed to be people who sacrifice ourselves for others. It's not something that you can get around or that you can choose whether, well, I don't want that to be part of my Christian experience. I'll take the Bible reading. I'll take the fasting. I don't really want to do the whole being good to others all the time, because that's kind of an impingement on my style. But we can't get around it. It's the way we're supposed to be. Being a Christian is being like Christ. And Christ sacrificed Himself for others all the time. And so being connected with Him means that you and I would do the same thing. And the reason I wanted to take a week for this verse is because, as universal as that is, as basic as that is, as easy to understand as that idea is, that God's children should sacrifice themselves for others all the time, whenever they're able, there's something in us that says, ugh, that goes against who we are. That goes against what we like to do. That goes against what our natural reactions are. And the way I deal with that is I tend to read over that really fast and say, yes, of course. I say yes, and I move on. I don't want to think about what that means, because the whole idea of being good and sacrificing myself for other people just goes against who I am. There's something in me that starts saying, well, not everyone, not all the time. I mean, I should be good to some people sometimes, but there's something in me that says it doesn't just come out of me to want to sacrifice myself for other people. And maybe I'm different than you, but it doesn't just come out of me. Sometimes I act like it does, like I want to, you know, I want you to think that I'm nice and good and generous and kind, but I kind of have to put that act on, because it doesn't come out of me. It doesn't come out of me to just be free with my time and my money and my things, especially my things. I would rather receive things than give things. And that's just being honest for just a second. And I'd rather not talk about that, because it's kind of embarrassing, but it's the truth. I would rather receive than give. And the reason you might say, that's kind of what I feel, is because we're selfish. Deep inside of us, we're selfish. That's one of the ways that we've twisted the nature of God in us, made in God's image, and God is giving and loving and kind and sacrificial, and we've twisted that rebellion. We've said, no, I want it to be about me. I want to be, and so we just all are kind of selfish. That's how we normally are. I tend to think, what am I going to get in any given situation? How is this going to help me? How can I get through this so that I can get on to what I really want to do? I think about what I'm going to receive. I more than giving things and time and to other people, when I think about giving to other people, you know, the first thing that I think is, if I give that to you, that's something I don't have. If I come and help you move, that's going to be couple of hours. Well, it's never a couple hours, is it? It's like 4 hours. And then they're not packed, and so it's like, oh, it's like 6 hours, like the whole day. It's just shot. You can't be the, you know, mean person who leaves before everybody else does. And then that's a whole day that I don't have. I've given it away. But give you something is less for me. And so I don't like to sacrifice myself for others. I tend to avoid sacrifice. Have you seen that selfishness inside of you? You don't have to raise your hand or say yes or even nod. I mean, you can just think it. But when have you seen that in yourself? And so then we avoid sacrificing ourselves. in which this verse says God's children sacrifice themselves for others, but we kind of tend to avoid that. I don't want to give. I don't want to help. So what do? Act like I don't see. Act like I don't see the need. I act like I don't, what, you needed help? Oh, if I would have known, but I didn't, so, you know, what could I have done? I didn't realize that, so I should have, oh, I could have. We act like we don't see the need. We act like, and it's not just physical help, but spiritual help. And there's so many people who don't know Christ around me that kind of becomes my excuse to not pray for anyone in particular every day, because that's work. And so it's just like, they're everywhere. And so we act like we don't see the needs. And then when we do see them, well, if no one knows that I saw the need, then I still don't have to do anything. And we justify not helping. We say, well, if I help, I could help, but nothing's going to change. They really don't need it. They're just going to waste it. Look at all that they have. They have opportunities. They could, you know, why am I going to take my time to read the Bible with that person and try to pursue them for Christ and try to study the Bible? We'll sit down and drink coffee. You know, they could come to church. They could hear a brilliant message on Sunday. Obviously joking. That's okay. Yes. Even if I was that conceited, I wouldn't like say it out loud. They could come to church. They have opportunities. They have the same opportunities I have. I mean, you know, come on. I work hard. Why am I going to give my money to somebody who obviously is not working as hard as I am because I know how hard I work? Why am I going to help that person? They have enough. There's poor people in other places that are really, really poor. And so we make excuses for not helping other people, whether it's spiritual help or physical help. The best excuse that they really don't want it. I mean, they don't truly, you know, they're happy the way they are. They have the same opportunities I have to come to church and to look for God, and they're obviously not doing that. So, okay, they're happy in their life. They wouldn't want to change and become a Christian even if I talked to them about that. So why would I take the time and sacrifice myself for them? And then when we do give, and when we're kind of like forced to give, it's like, oh, you tracked me down. You didn't just send an email and said, I need help. You like called me. And so it's like, okay, I'll be there. So I've got to go now. Got to help. Somebody's asked me personally. It's like there's somebody else watching. And so, okay, I will give you something because I'm kind of forced backed into a corner. You know, somebody says, hey, would you study with me? Well, okay, there's plenty of excuses to not study with somebody if I'm the one initiating and I'm the one who has to make a friendship with you and I have to ask you if we could study. There's a lot of reasons not to do that. But you come to me and say, could we read the Bible together? Oh, can't get out of that one. And so when we're forced to help, what do? Maybe you don't do this. Again, I'm not being accusatory. This is more confessional. We try to flip it around so that if I have to help anyway, I might as well get something out of it. Maybe somebody else will see. Hey, honey, you see, I'm going to read the Bible with that person. Instead of doing on my lunch break what I want to do, and my wife then is like, wow, my husband is a man of God. I get something out of it. See how generous I am? At least my kids will see I'm giving to that person, and they're like, oh, my dad is such a generous guy. I am getting something for what I'm giving. Maybe it's not the same, you know, when it's not a one-for-one trade, but I'm getting something out of it. Somebody sees, and then the way they think about me kind of goes up a little bit. Or I help you because, you know, you're moving, and I didn't help you when you moved, so this is a horrible example. Pretend I did. And then when I move, well, you know, I helped you when you moved. I don't even have to say that. It's just like, you know, hey, I need help moving. And I know you're thinking, you helped me when I moved. And so now I got to help you when you move. I help you and then you're going to help me. At least I'll get something out of it. Or the most selfish reason to help and to give and to is just because you have to. And you're like, well, what do I get out of that? I'm forced into it. I have to do it. What do I get out of that? Well, you get out of the obligation. Had to do it. So I'm freeing myself from the obligation by doing something. I get something out of it at least. Have you ever been generous with other people and then, if you're really honest, you were angling to get something out of that generosity, even if it was just the goodwill of other people, so they would say, wow, what a great person. And then Paul comes in this verse, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And even this morning, I was going over my notes and thinking through, and I was like, this is just such a simple message. It's so... And even this morning, I was thinking, did I make a mistake in just looking at this one verse this week? Because that's so simple. It's not complicated, and it's not. And what I thought, what I realized, maybe it was the Holy Spirit, maybe it wasn't, so I don't know. But the thought that came to my mind was, this verse confronts something that's at the core of who we are. We're selfish. And God very simply says, my children are supposed to sacrifice themselves for others. And so, since we're looking at this together, let's let God tell us and challenge our selfishness and wake us up so that we can be generous with other people. He starts out saying, so then, so he's obviously tying it in with what came just before, but also what came, I think, even a little bit farther back in the context. So if you look at the context, go up to chapter 5, verse 13. And this is almost like book ending. Paul starts the conversation of how being free in Christ works practically by saying something, and now he's finishing it. And the first one was kind of theory, and this is the practical, but he's saying the same thing. So look at 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And then read down in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 10. It's like they go together. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the family of faith. We're free in Christ. So then, in the context, we're free in Christ. We can serve other people without thinking about what we're going to get, because in Christ we've received everything. In Christ, God has made us His children and forgiven us and poured out His riches and mercy on us. So then we can serve other people. We're free to completely without thought for what I'm going to get, being completely open-handed as we go through life and giving to everyone else, both of our time and our money and even our things. We can help other people. And if you come down just a little bit more in the context, when he says, so then, that connects us back up to the context. Go to 5 verse 16. And 5 verse 22, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what the Spirit wants. The Spirit of God in the children of God wants us to sacrifice ourselves for others. He wants us to be kind and good and loving and give to other people and be open-handed. And then when he says in verse 10, so then, it's indirectly tied to those other verses, but it's directly tied to verse 9, the verse that came just before it. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And that's where he said, hey, God works through His children. So if you continue doing good, you will see God work through your life. If you don't give up, if you keep doing good over and over and over again, you will see God work through you. He will bring people to Himself. He will reconcile people with Himself. And then he says, so then, okay, if God works through His children, if we're free in Christ to love unconditionally, if we're free to sacrifice ourselves, and if God works through that, if He works, then what should we do? As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Let us do good to everyone. Last week when he said do good to everyone, I said, well, that's doing spiritual good and physical good. And I thought, this week, instead of me saying it, why don't we let Jesus say that? Because it shouldn't be my idea. This should be Jesus' idea. So if we go to the very end of Jesus' time on earth, there's two times when he talks about doing good. And one time he talks about doing physical good. And the other time he talks about doing spiritual good. And if we're his followers, and as Paul was, I think those come together. And when we see the words doing good, it becomes, I should do physical good for people. I should give my time and my money and help. And I should do spiritual good. I should pray for people. And I should study with with people, and I should invest in relationships, and I should help people know Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 25. This is a physical good one. Jesus is talking about himself. He says, when the Son of Man, so him, he, Jesus, comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then listen, all of that is very ethereal, it's judgment and heaven and being separated out. And then he gets very, very, very specific, very nitty-gritty. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So Jesus says, when we are being good to others is being good physically, giving time and money and food and water and clothing and visiting and helping. And that, and he says, and when you do that for other people, when his children do that for others, he actually receives it as if we were doing it directly for him, which kind of, that's a whole different message, but that just blows away a lot of my reasons for being selfishness, a lot of my excuses for not giving. They don't need it. They won't appreciate it. It won't really help them. Doesn't matter. I'm not giving it to them. Jesus says, you're actually giving that to me. That's a whole different thought. So being good, doing good, as Paul says, is giving our time and money and energy and clothing and visiting people in their moments of need. It is physically helping people. And then in Matthew 28, just a couple of pages later, at the very end of his time on earth, in Matthew 28, 18, this is the doing spiritual good. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples or followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus says, my followers are supposed to help people physically in this life, and they're supposed to help people spiritually be connected to the Father. You're supposed to help people by praying for them, by spending time with them, by studying the Bible one-on-one with people, by bringing them to the point where they say, I want to give myself to Jesus and repent and be baptized, by walking with them afterwards in community as you go through life together and helping them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded, which is a never-ending task. It's giving your life to helping people be connected to the Father. And one is helping people in this life physically, and the other is helping people is spiritually. And Jesus says that's what my followers do. That is doing good. So when Paul says, as you have opportunity, do good, that's what he's talking about. Do physical good. Do spiritual good to all. And that answers the question that comes up in my mind by my own selfishness. Who do I have to help? And he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. So not just mine, not just my children and my wife and my family and the people that I like and the people that I think are nice to me, and not just the people that I would normally help, not just the people I would normally be inclined to be nice to and to give myself, to sacrifice myself to. He says, be kind to everyone. That's people you know and people that you don't know from Adam. It's people who are good and people who are bad. It's people who are Christians and people who are still not Christians. It's people who, listen, deserve your help and people who really don't deserve your help. It's to all that you think don't deserve. Anyway, that's a whole nother rabbit trail we won't go down. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And here, he again attacks one of the major objections that my selfishness brings up, and one of the justifications to helping other people. As we have opportunity, Because I say, well, when do I have to help? Which opportunities do I have to take? I mean, there's so many good things that I could do. Can't do them all. There's so many people I could help. Can't help everybody. I mean, my time and my money will only go so far. So who do I have to help? When do I have to help? What opportunities do I have to take? And then I eventually talk myself into a point where I don't have to do anything, which is a good place to be at, isn't it, from a selfish standpoint. But he says, as we have opportunity, horrible, horrible way to put it, because what he's saying is, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Seeing an opportunity is actually God giving you an assignment. Removes that whole spiritualizing thing that we do out of it. It's like, well, I could help that person. Yes, we could study the Bible together, but I could help you this Saturday. I could give you some money or something. I see you have need, but let me pray about it. And if I really feel God leading me to do it, then I'll do it. But I don't know. Don't know how I would feel the leading anyway. So I didn't. He says, as we have opportunity, as if to say, God gives us assignments based on the opportunities that he puts before us. So God giving me an opportunity to do good is actually God giving me an assignment, a task for me to do good. And worst case scenario, I stand before God someday and I say, you know, helped that person. And he says, yeah, that wasn't from me. I didn't want you to study the Bible with that person. Didn't want you to help that person. Didn't want you to sacrificially give to that family that was in need. Oh, that wasn't from you. So am I going to get punished for that? No. You did it to the least of these. You did it to me. See, it all works out. And so Paul says, as we have opportunity, an assignment from God is the opportunity that comes before us and we're to take it. And then he ends by saying, and especially, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're supposed to be a community of people who love Jesus and are part of God's family. And so he says, do good to everybody. But especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you're part of God's family, you should be especially good. Your first inclination should be to just totally sacrifice yourself for your brothers and sisters. Whatever you need, whether it's moral support or counseling or walking alongside you in a difficult part of your life, or you need some money for your rent, whatever you need, we're a family. We help each other. Just like if my kids came to me throughout their life, I know, as soon as they were born, I realized, like, whoa, there's an obligation here, and it's not like somebody is going to come with a gun and tell me I have an obligation. I feel it inside. Whatever they need from me for the rest of their lives, or probably for the rest of my life, because I'll probably go first, I'm there. They got it. Whatever they need, if we're in the same family, that's the way it should be among us, but not to the exclusion of helping people who are not part of the family yet. So, if God's children sacrifice themselves for others, what should we do? We should sacrifice ourselves for others. That starts by receiving God's sacrifice for you. In the same way God asks us to give ourselves sacrificially for other people, he's given the example, and he's given himself sacrificially for us. So if you're listening to this whole thing and something inside you says, yes, I should give myself more sacrificially to other people, but you haven't received God's sacrifice for you and you haven't given yourself to Jesus and haven't said, you're my Lord and Savior and I will let you save me and let you put me in your family, then giving yourself sacrificially for others starts by saying yes to Jesus and repenting and being baptized and letting God save you. And if you already are a Christian, then giving yourself sacrificially to others is about making a decision. And for some of us, it's just making it again, because we've made it in the past, and then we kind of gets lost by our own selfishness, and so we got to give ourselves, do it again, and say, okay, I'm going to sign on the dotted line. This is what I'm supposed to be about. For others, first time you've heard this, and you say, okay, so I need to change how I look at life. We need to decide that we will be people, individuals. I will be a person who will dedicate myself to helping other people. I will be like that. And when I see opportunities, the answer will be yes. I will be someone that God can use to help other people. And that still kind of is in the realm of theory. So one very, very practical question. What are the opportunities that God's put in front of you to help other people, spiritually or physically? and you've just kind of been looking the other way or sitting on it or praying about it when you know that it's an opportunity to do good and it's probably what God wants you to do, but it's easier to pray about it than to do it. What is the opportunity that God has given you to do good that you haven't taken yet? What do you need to do today, this week, to give yourself sacrificially for other people? And what will you do? So think about that. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so very good. And even as we talk this morning about our own selfishness and about how we should help other people and give ourselves sacrificially just through our lives, and the undercurrent of all that is how you are so giving and you love us so much. You've been so good to us. And every moment we're alive, you're good to us. And you give yourself for us. And we thank you for that. And God, we would ask that you would help us to be more and more like you, to give ourselves sacrificially for the people that you put in our lives and the opportunities you put around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.